school facade give you, mislead you. This week I taught my students about pulse and what increases pulse.
This is one of those things.
Our daily lives are full of many distractions. Sometimes it makes us feel like the dog from the movie Up. Remember him? Yes, don't ruin the whole sermon for me. But that is the point. Poor Doug, that's the dog's name. He just wanted to be loved. He wanted somebody to love him. He wanted to be mastered. And in this rainforest, he happened upon little Russell, the little mailman, and Mr. Fredericks, who's carrying around a floating house. I mean, that right there would be enough to get you a little confused. But he sees these two, and he goes, "Will you be my master?" He's carrying on a conversation. He has a little dog collar on there. He can talk. And he's having this conversation. "Will you be my master? Will you be my master?" And all of a sudden, squirrel. It's kind of like Jerry. It's just distractions. We don't know what's going on. Yeah, I know. All right. He lost his focus. He became distracted. He's trying to find a new master. Somebody to love him. Somebody to really love him. Yeah. Distracted. And that's what we go through in our life. Now, while in the context of the movie, it's pretty fun. It's even funny now listening to Jared over here yell it, but it's still funny. But it's an accurate description of our life. It's the way we are. I know the way I am. We have so many things that clamor for our attention on a daily basis that we lose that focus. We become distracted. Our focus, Doug wanted to master, he lost the focus. Our focus should be on God and our relationship with God. It's easy said, but it's hard to do. And we get distracted by any number of squirrel moments or the shiny thing, the new shiny thing. And as a disclaimer, this is me. I'm the poster boy for this. I've had long stretches of those squirrel moments, so don't think it's any. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, because if I'm pointing fingers, there's at least three pointing back at me on this topic. Now, while some of the things that distract us can be rationalized, we can say, yes, this is the reason I get distracted. It can, some others just defy explanation. No accounting for it when compared to God. We have our families, which should be in scope of our vision. And some of us have families that are in the process of growing. That distracts us even more. We have our jobs that help us maintain those lives and our vision. Then we have the shiny things that distract us. We have our phones, our iPads, sports, because today is a holiday. This election Sunday. Forget St. Patrick's Day. Ask Sean, what's the most important thing today? Selection Sunday. And next weekend, you forget everything. Word, basketball. But then we get distracted by that. We get distracted by hobbies. We get distracted by social media. The new toy on the market, there are all kinds of things that can distract us from where we should be focused. No matter what causes the distraction, they do lead us to lose our focus where it should be, on God and our relationship with God. Now, the reason for this topic, I tossed around a few topics and things just didn't quite flow with one. And then a few weeks ago, I was watching television. There was a television ad that came on. And it started me thinking. And then when we were in the hospital with Dad, this lady came in asking about it. It's the I Am Saved campaign going on right now. And every day when I go to the hospital to see Dad, First Baptist Church in Gallatin has the black backdrop with the white chair. They were starting a series on I Am Saved. And to give you an idea of what it is, let me find the mission statement here. The mission statement is, I Am Saved is a movement meant to inspire people of all kinds to live for God and for others. It has a website. I looked at some of the video. One of the videos last night, the one I had up was a guy who had, when he was born, was dead for 18 minutes. He was still born. They put him over in the corner. He was the youngest, he was the last of eight children. So they put him over in the corner, and all of a sudden, he was alive. Now he had some problems. He speech impediments, some physical impediments, but just watching this 8-minute video, how much glory he gave to God. That's pretty powerful. They also have celebrities on there. The commercial I saw was Kathy Ireland. And for anybody that's my age, her claim to fame was she was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover. Then she did a couple movies, and thankfully she stopped doing that because she wasn't very very good at that. But she came back and she was a commercial. They have celebrities out there. Lecrae is one of them. If it hadn't been for this church, I wouldn't know who Lecrae is. But that was, he's one of them. So I'm second. You got to be thinking, what do I do to display that? And it kind of was a challenge for me to realize, it's not good. If I sit down and think about it, it's not good for me about this. So I wanted to do this to maybe get myself motivated a little bit. Let me see. That was a lot of bad ideas from the notes around the back. Now, I'm second to an ideal plan. It can be difficult in daily practice. And this morning in class, Chris talked about how sometimes we want to have God conform to who we want God to be. And that's not the way it should be. We should conform to God. That's what he's talking about. We live in a society where being number one is the main goal. We have tournaments going on this weekend for basketball. We have the big tournament starting next week. Everybody wants to be number one. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't make that your only goal. Because being number one is good, I guess. Having the trophies, it's very nice. You feel good about yourself. But that shouldn't be our only focus in life. For Christians, we know the Bible gives us instructions. One of the greatest commandments. Jerry talked about it earlier. Matthew 22:37-39 is the one we're going to talk about. Jesus is responding to the Pharisees, verse 36, where they asked him, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And 37-39, Jesus responded, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There we go. We're not number one. We're not even number two. Love God with all heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the great thing about this commandment is not like the other commandments. The other commandments are thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. This is what you should do. This is a positive commandment. And that's great because when I coach, I hated it when players always focus on the negative. We're not doing enough. Let's not focus negative. Let's be positive. And that's what Jesus did. He's saying the positive command is what we should do. And if we do those two commandments, everything else should fall into place. We love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. We love our neighbors ourselves. Everything else should fall into place. Practicing this love should be easy. It should be easy because God loved us first. And he continues to love us. He loves us unconditionally. Sometimes, you know, if you think we're to think about it, why does he love us? But he does. Thank goodness. But Genesis 1:26-27 kind of gives us an idea of why he does love us. So if you want to turn, we're going to Genesis 1, and we're going to end up here. 26-31. But 26-27, the Bible says, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then, verses 28-31, he shows how much he loves us. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. It will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. He created us in his image. And at the end of the day, he said, this is good. He gave us everything on earth to sustain our life. He's even through the years, he has given us continual encouragement and direction of how we should live. In Genesis 17:1, real quick, he told Abraham, he said, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Tutored us. He taught us what to do. He told us what to do. But anybody that's ever studied the Bible knows we didn't always walk the right path. He would forgive us. Get back on the right path, get back on the wrong path. He will forgive us. That's what he's done through time. That's how much God loves us. He's willing to forgive us for things that we've done. We should obey and heart, soul, and mind. He will reward us. This morning we also talked about John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16. Rich made that point. If people know 3:16, it's the 17, 18, and beyond that people tend to forget. Through the years, God sacrificed a lot for us, for our benefit. And in 3:16, he says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. This whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Then he explains, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So not only did he make the decision to make all the sacrifice for us, you know, he tells us, "Follow me, look to God." We don't. Sacrifices had to be made, so he sacrificed his Son. And so we can continue with that, so we can continue to move through life focusing on God and not have to worry about any more sacrifices. And God's not our only example, Jesus. Jesus is a great example. Jesus, we were given a great example from him. He showed us how we should carry ourselves in regards to the second of the greatest commandments, loving others. And Philippians 2, 3 through 11. This is going to be a long passage here. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, 3 through 11 how we should act so that we can be more like Jesus. Because we focus on God, we should love him all, our soul and mind, and we should love our neighbors. And here it is, what Paul said about Jesus. And this is difficult, especially verse 3. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Okay, I'm already off the path. Verse 5, "New relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider the equality of God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue and countenance that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus, he became a servant. And he could have done so many other things, but he came to this earth and came, humbled himself and became a servant so he could help us. Verse 3, I told you, it's difficult. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves." And in our society, that's difficult. In our society, we value self quite a bit. But while Jesus on earth was a servant, put his focus on God, and he obeyed the second of the greatest commandments. Sometimes, quite a few times, I'm guilty of doing the opposite of what that last passage talked about, than not having self-interest above others. And while, you know, we spend time, we ask others how you're doing, we try to make the conversation, we try to be nice and display that we aren't completely selfish, it's still at the core for me. A lot of times it goes back to, well, what's best for me. I know right now I'm in a situation where I'm on the executive board for the State Athletic Training Society. And I'm in a position, it's election year. Am I going to run for election? Am I going to go for another office? And am I just going to not do it? And the key word in all that was I. And I've had conversations with people across the state. Should I do this? Should I not? Well, what should I be doing? I shouldn't be worrying about me. I should be asking, what's the best? What can I do the best? Show my focus on God. And this is where this sermon has kind of led me. I'm supposed to have a phone conversation today, I think, that we may finally make the decision. But what am I going to do? I definitely need to ask for help, and that's one of the things I'm going to be praying about, is which way do I go? I have three shot options. Where am I going to go? So this is why this became so personal to me, because there's a lot of things going on in life. And I am like that in a lot of ways. I do have my squirrel moments. And there for several years, I had a lot of school moments when it came to my focus on God. I actually stepped out of church for several years before basically I started dating. It had been several years. The last time I'd been to church before that, was to hear a guest speaker, and the time before that was to make sure the minister that was not resigning was actually resigning. That's where I got to the point in life. The only reason I went to hear was to make sure it was his last sermon. And that was where I was. And my focus has changed, and I'm still in that process. And that's one of the reasons I'm so intimidated by being up here. I sit in class Sunday morning, I sit in class, even in the middle school class on Sunday, on Wednesday night, high school class Sunday night, and hear the depth of knowledge of people in this congregation. It intimidates me. I have a lot of learning left to do. And I know everybody says they do. But I feel like I'm farther back because I've had so many years where I went off the wrong path. And at the end, I'm going to have a little challenge. But I've had my dumb moments. But we're lucky that we have a God who can take our squirrel moments and recalibrate us and put us back where we need to be. Looking to God first for help and His guidance brings us blessings beyond what we deserve. I've been blessed a lot in the last couple of years. I might not get into that because since Betsy's become pregnant, I've inherited the hormones, and I'm the hormonal roller coaster. I mean, stood there senior night for Courtney, and her teacher watches me have a tear up. And of course, he mocks me in class the next day, but that's the relationship we had. But that's where I am. If I get too much into that, it's just going to be bad. I'm going to have to stop and walk away. So looking at God first is important. Is where we should be. Looking for His guidance, because it brings us those blessings. Our relationship with God determines our relationships with other people, whether they thrive or whether they die. So that's how important it is. Our relationship with God determines a lot about us. Having our priorities in the right order makes the difference between true fulfillment and empty, short-lived dreams. I've had a lot of empty, short-filled dreams, so life is about to change drastically again. And I need to look at the big picture. That's one of the things that I want to make sure that I take care of as we move forward. I know Dave made fun of me this morning. Here's a book. This is the collection of stories about Coach John Wooden. And I've had a lot of respect for Coach Wooden before because, you know, he won a lot of games, a lot of tournaments. He won 10 national championships. In a time now where Coach Krzyzewski has 4 at Duke, and he's a legend. This guy won 10. But what impresses me most about him is his dedication to God. Even when he coached every day, even when he was in high school every day, he spent time in the Bible. Even as a kid, he did that all through life. Even, I think it's Liam, when he was 99 and passed away a couple years ago. There's a prayer in here that I thought was fitting for where I tried to take today. The prayer was, Father, please forgive me for not always putting first things first and not making my relationship with you my number one priority. Help me to reprioritize my life in a way that's pleasing to you and in turn will be a blessing to my family and friends. And when I read that, I thought it was very fitting to what I was trying to get across today. And there was a story in here by a gentleman who works at ESPN. He got to interview Coach Wooden. On TV, of course, it was a basketball about what ESPN wanted the story to be about. He said, when they were off camera, the gentleman in here said he had an opportunity to talk to Coach Wooden about his walk with God. And he was very impressed with that. And it helped put him on a different path. And he became more successful because he put the priorities first. He saw where Coach Wooden had his priorities. And then the commentator started going down that same path. And he said he's gotten more rewards than he ever could hope for when it was just him. And I think the story in the bulletin this morning is very fitting. Gentlemen, gets to heaven, and if you haven't read it, take time to read it. How about Peter's telling him he needs 100 points to get into heaven. And the guy, they go through, they fix off his life, and he ends up with 15 points. And he says, oh, Jesus, help me. I need your help. Peter looks across, 100 points. There you go. I think that says all we need to know is God and Jesus will get us where we need to be. It's us taking that time to do that. My challenge to you is more of a challenge to me also. My challenge to you is to help me. And I hope I can in turn help you. Because with this life change, it's made me rethink a lot about my life. I'm not necessarily happy in my job, but I am for the most part. What mistakes have I made in not focusing on God? Have I missed opportunities? Very blessed. she's not in here, right? She's in there, so she can't give me a dirty look. To stalk me, to make sure I asked her out. That is something that was great for me because I'm not a very forward person. I didn't ask people out. I didn't ask girls out. And finally, I got a little push from her and my co-head coach, and I didn't really feel like I had a choice. So I asked her out and see what happened. You know, quick after that. It took 14 months to ask her out, but less than 40 days to figure out if I'm married. So that's the type of thing that can happen if blessings happen in your life. So my challenge is to help me, and hopefully I can help you. So before we go out this week and work to keep God first in our lives and reap as many blessings, please join us as Dave leads us in the final song.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.